last week, Senate Republicans blocked a bipartisan commission to investigate the January 6th attacks on the U.S. Capitol. It was their first successful use of the filibuster since President Joe Biden took office. But the move is pushing some Democrats to renew calls to get rid of the filibuster altogether. It's the week in Washington. We'll talk about that, the latest on infrastructure, and Vice President Kamala Harris's evolving role as the second in command. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think it's time to get rid of the filibuster? Do you think the filibuster stands in the way of big policy reforms? Or do you think it's valuable by forcing the parties to work together? Call 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas at WPR.org. Adam Wollner is a deputy editor for McClatchy, D.C., who also happens to be from Wisconsin. Adam, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me back on.
Let's start right with the filibuster, with that first successful filibuster by the GOP last week since Biden took office. What happened?
Yeah, so basically the Senate wanted to, was trying to pass a bill that already had gone through the Democratic-controlled House to create a bipartisan independent commission that would investigate that January 6th attack on the Capitol. But unlike in the House, where you just need a clear majority in order to pass legislation, which is what they were able to do, in the Senate, under the current rules, you need 60 votes in order to get that passed. And the way that the Senate is currently divided, it's an even split, 50 Democrats, 50 Republicans. And while all the Democrats who were present for this vote voted in favor of it, Democratic leadership wasn't able to get enough Republicans to go along with them to get to that 60 vote threshold, which effectively killed this legislation that would have allowed them to create this commission. As you mentioned, this was the first time that this so-called filibuster has been used since President Joe Biden took office.
The filibuster is sometimes hard to describe. Even the U.S. Senate says it's a loosely defined term. Explain to us what the filibuster is and then why it's so controversial.
Yeah, it is a little complicated and in the weeds. But essentially, whenever legislation moves to the Senate, or I should say most legislation at least, it requires sort of a two-step process in order to pass. So there's a first vote that opens debate on a policy issue, and that's where you need to hit that 60-vote threshold. And so even if, for instance, you are able to get a majority of senators in favor of something to open the debate on a piece of legislation, but it doesn't reach that 60 vote threshold, then you can't move on to that second vote, which would be the final passage of the legislation. So basically, even if you are in the minority in the Senate, you can still effectively block legislation, and that is exactly what happened with this vote on the commission last week.
Are we hearing more Democrats saying, "Well, now it's time to end the filibuster. This is over"?
Yeah, you definitely felt some growing frustration last week that, you know, kind of an argument you heard from a lot of Democrats was that, you know, if we can't even reach a bipartisan consensus on, you know, investigating this deadly attack that only took place a couple of months ago in the place that we work, how can we agree on anything from infrastructure to immigration to voting rights? And, you know, President Joe Biden and Democratic leaders in Congress have a very ambitious agenda. They want to get a lot done here over the course of the next year. And I think they are increasingly seeing that without more Republican support, they're just not going to be able to get a lot of these things done. So you are hearing growing calls to end the filibuster, but we're still a long ways off from changing any of these rules in the institution of the Senate, because you still do have a couple of notable and powerful moderate Democrats who are still not quite going to those lengths in terms of calling for the end of the filibuster.
Our guest is Adam Wollner, who's deputy editor for McClatchy, D.C., and we're talking about the week in Washington, how what's happening in our nation's capital affects us here in Wisconsin. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Right now, we're talking about the filibuster. What questions do you have there? Maybe you want to weigh in on the latest when it comes to infrastructure and the Biden administration's plan, or the vice president's new expectations and roles. Give us a call. Ask your question or share your comment at 800-642-1234. Adam, what would it mean? I know you said we're not there yet, but what would it mean for Republicans if Democrats did end the filibuster?
Yeah, if we were to get to that point, that would essentially mean that Democrats could pass legislation along a party line vote, at least for the next 2 years here, because right now the House is narrowly controlled by the Democrats. Senate is currently a 50-50 split. But since Democrats hold the White House, Vice President Kamala Harris would be able to cast a tie-breaking vote if that was needed. So, you know, of course, and that would be a whole separate issue in terms of keeping the Democratic Party together on major pieces of legislation. But if the filibuster was no longer an issue, then Democrats could sort of put Republicans off to the side and just sort of try and form legislation that could pass solely with a party line vote.
I don't know what metaphor to use, if it's a double-edged sword or a can of worms or something here. But once, if Democrats were to do that, then if Republicans were in the White House or if Republicans had more power in the Senate, wouldn't that be a problem for the Democratic agenda?
That's right. And that is, you know, what you're sort of hearing from some of the more moderate Democrats who are a little more skeptical of this idea, because you know, as we've seen in recent political history, you know, power in Congress tends to change pretty quickly. You know, it was just 4 years ago that when President Trump, Republican, was in the White House and Republicans controlled both chambers of Congress. So things can change very fast. So once you start altering the sort of institutional rules of the Senate, that can come back and backfire on you pretty quickly. So, you know, if Democrats were to get rid of the filibuster in the Senate, then those rules would also be in place the next time Republicans are in control of the Senate. And then Democrats would be completely shut out of any sort of debate. So that is certainly on the mind of some Democrats who aren't on board at this point with abolishing the filibuster.
This is more of a theoretical conversation that we're having about the filibuster, because the Senate has a lot of legislative business. What does that mean, the fact that they have bills they need to deal with and issues they need to take up? What does that mean for the filibuster debate?
Right. So with the filibuster rules in place as of right now, it makes things a lot more challenging for the Democrats to pass kind of the major items on President Joe Biden's agenda. He was able to get his first major piece of legislation passed, the COVID relief bill, by sort of circumventing these filibuster rules through another complicated in the weeds process called budget reconciliation. And there is a possibility they'd be able to use that same maneuver with an infrastructure package, which they're currently negotiating right now, where, again, you could sort of circumvent that 60 vote threshold. And you'd only need a simple majority in order to pass those. To pass that piece of legislation. But of course, that doesn't apply to everything. So when we get to voting rights, to immigration, to some other things that President Biden wants to get done, that would still apply the current 60-vote filibuster rule. So with that filibuster in place, that is going to really hamper a lot of what the Democrats want to do, because up until now, we haven't seen a lot of appetite from many Republican senators, certainly not the up to 10 that they would need to pass some of these things to compromise.
We are talking about Vice President Kamala Harris's evolving role as second in command in the U.S. And right now we're taking on the latest in infrastructure planning. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Our guest is Adam Wollner, deputy editor for McClatchy, D.C. He's with us today for our weekly look at the top stories in Washington. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. And before we go on to infrastructure, Mitch from Green Bay wants to join the conversation after we mentioned the January insurrection. Hey, Mitch.
Hello. I don't know why somebody hasn't investigated to find out who pulled the security in January. And if it were to be somebody in the Republican range, then maybe it doesn't seem like you want security in the Congress, and take the security away.
Hey, Mitch, thanks for that comment there, because, you know, Mitch is saying, I heard Mitch say, I don't know why they wouldn't want to look into what happened on January 6th. And is that what Republicans are saying, that they don't want this commission because they don't want to look into what happened in the insurrection, Adam?
Well, you know, a lot of Republicans had made the argument that a commission wasn't necessary because it'd be sort of duplicative of some of the other investigative efforts that are already going on in other areas of the government. But, you know, but there also, you know, is a political angle to this, to be sure, where, you know, if there was this bipartisan commission looking into to what happened on January 6th, you know, there's a good chance that could stretch on well into to next year, which, of course, is a midterm election year where Republicans are hopeful that they will have a chance to take back control of the House and the Senate. And this is not really something that they want to be focusing on. They don't want to be looking back to the events of January 6th, where President Trump's supporters were storming the Capitol, looking back to, you know, to Trump's presidency. You know, they want to be looking forward and try and make an argument that's more a referendum on Joe Biden and the Democrats. So, you know, I think there certainly is kind of a double-sided argument they were making there. But, you know, to Mitch's point, you know, without this commission, I do think that, you know, we're not going to publicly, at least, we may not get a lot of answers to questions I think that are on a lot of people's minds, you know, on the security front, to be sure, you know, some of the events of exactly what happened that day, you know, the American public may end up being left in the dark on a lot of that without this commission. Mm.
Mitch, thanks for the call at 800-642-1234. There's a line for you, too, if you'd like to weigh in. Ahead, we'll talk about Vice President Kamala Harris's evolving expectations, wondering what you think. Is the vice president the right person to tackle things like preserving voting rights? You can give us a call now at 800-642-1234. Let's talk infrastructure now. President Biden is meeting with the lead Republican negotiator in the Senate. What's at stake in that meeting?
So, you know, as we were talking about before with the filibuster and trying to reach some sort of bipartisan consensus here to get an infrastructure package passed, you know, these meetings are really critical because we're coming up here and we're already past the deadline that President Biden initially put in place. He wanted to have a deal in place by Memorial Day. That certainly has come and gone. And now you're hearing Democratic leaders in Congress saying they want to get something wrapped up here by the end of July. So, you know, we're having some more meetings here in Washington between the president and Republican senators. That he actually just wrapped up a meeting not too long ago with Shelley Moore Capito, a Republican from West Virginia, who's become the party's lead negotiator on infrastructure. And, you know, if they aren't able to come to some sort of agreement here in the next couple of weeks and the two sides are still pretty far apart, we may see Democrats decide that, you know, we're going to have to try and do this without Republican support. We have two very different visions of what we want this to look like and try and get around that filibuster and just pass it on a party line vote.
Infrastructure was the thing that I heard people floating even before Biden was in office, that they thought this was our opportunity for bipartisanship. This is where Republicans and Democrats can find common ground. Is that still the case?
Yeah, that's been, you know, something we've heard in Washington for a long time here, going back several presidents, that infrastructure has been one of those issues that could, you know, bridge the divide between both parties. And certainly, you know, President Joe Biden, maybe not infrastructure specifically, but certainly during the campaign last year, you know, touted his ability to be able to work across the aisle dating back to his days as vice president and as a senator. But of course, you know, we live in still very politically divisive times. So even on something that, you know, maybe in a different era would have attracted a lot more bipartisan support, just the kind of the political incentives right now don't really lead to a natural agreement on this. When, again, you know, things are so narrowly divided in both the House and the Senate between Democrats and Republicans. You know, the next round of elections is going to be here before we know it, and both sides want to, you know, either hang on to their power if you're the Democrats or regain it if you're the Republicans. So, you know, I do think the president certainly sees this as probably his best opportunity to reach some sort of bipartisan compromise here over the next 2 years. And that is why he's pushing so hard and continuing to have these meetings with Republican senators to get that done, to live up to that campaign promise. But as of right now, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done.
And there are Democrats and Republicans who are pretty suspicious, skeptical, at least, of that circumstance, of that working together.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, even getting 10 Republican senators, which is the number that they would need to get to that 60 votes, seems like a pretty tall order right now when you really only have, you know, a handful that are talking pretty closely with the White House at the moment. And then, you know, on the Democratic side, too, there are plenty of voices on the left who from the beginning have said, you know, let's not even go down this road. We don't want them to sort of water down our bill. And, you know, we may, you know, who knows if we can even get them to vote with us anyway. Let's just, you know, take advantage of, you know, the majorities that we have now, because we know that they don't last very long, and just get done what we can over the next 2 years, basically, before we get to the midterms.
We're talking with Adam Wolner, who's deputy editor for McClatchy, D.C., and we are talking about the week in Washington and how things are shaking out from the Capitol all across the country. We are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. If you'd like to get in on this conversation, there's still some time. Now let's talk about Vice President Kamala Harris, because her work is changing. She's having more things added to her plate, including the effort to deal with voting and elections. What's happening here?
Yeah, so certainly since the last election, we've seen a lot of Republican-led state legislatures making moves to pass new voting laws that would in many ways restrict the ways in which you know, voting is allowed and elections are run. And that has kind of pushed Democrats to continue to want to pass a larger national voting rights bill. And again, that's, at least as of the way the rules are right now, that's something that may not be able to be accomplished with the filibuster in place. But those calls have been getting louder and louder as we've gotten further into the year. And just yesterday, President Joe Biden essentially said that Vice President Harris is going to be taking the lead on this and is going to be working to try and get something passed through Congress here. It's something that has already passed the Democratic-controlled House, but again, it's the Senate and their current rules where the issue is right now. So certainly another difficult task for Vice President Harris, who's already dealing with some of the issues going on at the border right now. But it, you know, Democrats want to continue to raise her profile. They see her as, you know, she's certainly already a prominent leader within the party, but they want to set her up to continue to be one after Joe Biden's tenure. But it'll be interesting to see how she handles this going forward, given that it's going to be a very tricky issue for Democrats to tackle, given the current makeup of the Senate.
You mentioned the situation at the border, and we've seen some confusion about what her role really is when it comes to immigration. Explain that to us.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting, you know, when you're the vice president, you know, oftentimes the job is sort of what you make of it. And obviously, you know, President Joe Biden has wanted to make her a partner in a lot of what they're doing here early on. And by giving her some of these specific policy issues to work on, you know, I think he's trying to show that. And there have been a lot of criticism directed at the administration in the first few months about dealing with the flow of migrants crossing the southern border. Vice President Harris is actually going to be making her first foreign trip here in a couple of days. She's going to be going to Mexico and Guatemala. So that's going to really be one of her first times, at least, to be in the public eye to make clear how she wants to address a very volatile issue.
And we saw Republicans point to Harris and say, you know, like, these problems are not getting solved. We still have so many people at the border. And then we've seen the vice president's staff say, well, we're not dealing necessarily with everyone at the border, but we're looking at how people are migrating here from farther south. Does that parsing matter? And is it landing?
Right. I mean, the parsing certainly does matter, you know, from a policy perspective. But I do think, you know, Republicans have seen something to latch onto here where they're, you know, she's almost where they want to cast her as trying to avoid responsibility for what's going on at the border. You know, I don't think, you know, really for the average American looking at that, they probably aren't going to see much of a difference. So it is going to be something that I think she's going to have to address here moving forward, and not, you know, kind of have this posture of saying, well, I'm addressing this part of it, but not the other part of it, because, you know, really it's all interconnected. So I think that, you know, that's something Republicans are already focusing on. And that's something I think Vice President Harris will need to sort of have a clearer message on here as she continues to tackle this.
What do we expect to see and hear from her on this first foreign trip this weekend then?
You know, and having just said that, you know, I don't know if we'll hear a ton of specific policy from her on this trip, because I do think, especially with that, this being her first foreign trip, you know, she's going to be meeting with leaders and you know, kind of making the rounds to these places. I don't know if we should expect a lot of news necessarily from that trip, but I do think it is an important first step for her as she tries, as she starts to establish relations with these countries who really didn't, you know, hear a whole lot from the last administration in particular. So I think this is just going to be sort of a re sort of establishing of relations with the new administration and these countries' leaders. And that will then, you know, allow them to maybe tackle some more of these problems specifically moving forward.
All right. Lots to talk about. Adam, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Adam Wolner is a deputy editor for McClatchy, D.C. He was with us today to look at some of the top stories in national politics in the week in Washington.